Good morning, and welcome to Southern Champaign County Today for Wednesday, November 12th, 2025. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader. And we start off today's reading with the Tolono Historical Society, which is joining with the Tolono Library to host a discussion group on the American Revolution. And you're invited to the Tolono Library for a joint Library and Historical Society discussion group on the PBS special, The American Revolution. The discussion group will take place on Saturday, November 22nd, from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Revolutionary War flags will be on display and refreshments will be served. Southern Champaign County pioneer settlers left their homelands with a new hope, which only the United States of America could make a reality. Without the freedom and independence fought for 250 years ago, they may never have had the chance to pursue the dreams and goals afforded them. Long before our county was ever on a map, many came west seeking opportunity. We are here because of their faith and perseverance. Do not miss this six-part, 12-hour documentary series on the American Revolution, directed by Ken Burns, Sarah Botstein, and David Schmidt, and written by Jeffrey Ward. Broadcasting for the 250th anniversary of the start of the Revolutionary War, which began in the spring of 1775, more than a year before the Declaration of Independence. This series explores the country's founding struggles and its eight-year war for independence. The American Revolution documentary will premiere on Sunday, November 16th, 2025, from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, which of course is 7 to 9 p.m. our Central Time, and it will air for six consecutive nights through Friday, November 21st on PBS. The American Revolution documentary examines how America's founding turned the world upside down. 13 British colonies on the American coast rose in rebellion, won their independence, and established a new form of government that radically reshaped the continent and inspired centuries of democratic movements around the globe. At one time or another, the British Army occupied all the population centers in the United States, including New York City, for more than 7 years. An expansive look at the virtues and contradictions of the war and the birth of the United States of America, the film follows dozens of individual figures from a wide variety of backgrounds. Viewers will experience the war through the memories of the men and women who experienced it, the rank-and-file Continental soldiers and American militiamen, some of whom were teenagers, patriot political and military leaders, British Army officers, American loyalists, Native soldiers and civilians, enslaved and free African Americans, German soldiers in the British service, French and Spanish allies, and various civilians living in North America, loyalist as well as patriot, including many made refugees by the war. The American Revolution was a war for independence, it was a civil war, and it was a world war. It impacted millions from Canada to the Caribbean and beyond, and few escaped its violence. The American Revolution is one of the most important events in human history, said Ken Burns. We went from being subjects to inventing a new concept and becoming citizens and set in motion democratic revolutions around the globe. As we prepare to celebrate the 250th anniversary of our founding, We're hopeful that people throughout the country will come together to discuss the importance of this history and to appreciate even more what our ancestors did to secure our liberty and freedoms. Our film tells the remarkable history of the people who lived through the American Revolution, their everyday concerns, and their hopes, fears, and failings, said co-director Sarah Botstein. It's a surprising and deeply relevant story, one that is hugely important to understanding who we are as a country and a people. The revolution changed how we think about government, creating new ideas about liberty, freedom, and democracy. The revolution was 8 years of uncertainty, hope, and terror, a brutal war that engaged millions of people in North America and beyond, and left tremendous loss in its wake, said David Schmidt. At the same time, the revolution also changed how Americans thought about themselves, their government, and what they were capable of achieving. The United States that emerged from the war was a nation few could have imagined before the shooting began in April 1775. The American Revolution began a movement for people around the world to imagine new and better futures for themselves, their nations, and for humanity. It opened the door to advance civil liberties and human rights, and it asked questions that we are still trying to answer today. I think to believe in America, rooted in the American Revolution, is to believe in possibilities, said the historian Jane Kamansky. Everybody on every side, including people who were denied even the ownership of themselves, had the sense of possibility worth fighting for. Once again, the American Revolution will be premiered on PBS television on Saturday, November 22nd. Excuse me, the local discussion on the American Revolution as presented in the PBS special will be presented on Saturday, November 22nd from 9:30 to 11:30 p.m. at the Tolono Library. The actual 12-hour documentary on PBS television begins on Sunday, November 16th from 7 to 9 p.m. and will be shown every night until Friday, November 21st on PBS. Come to the local discussion. Next up on the front page, our correspondent Ann Roten covers the Unity East Elementary School annual Thanksgiving and Veterans Day celebration. Ann, our correspondent, arrived at the Friday, November 7th Unity East Elementary School annual Thanksgiving luncheon and Veterans Day program for senior citizens and veterans. She was greeted at the door by the smiling faces of Unity East Elementary students Chasen Odom and Elena Coy, who directed her to the library where folks were waiting for the gym to open. And she was greeted by the smiling faces of Unity East students Emmy Germano and Vivi Lutz. The meal and the program took place in the gymnasium after a nice introductory session in order to visit with folks in the library and find Sydney American Legion Post 433 members, Unity East Elementary staff, and volunteers, all busily getting ready for the event. The dining tables were beautifully decorated with patriotic and Thanksgiving theme placemats and decorations made by the Unity East Elementary School students, and those in attendance were welcome to take them home at the end of the day. Folks soon began arriving, and the room quickly filled up with Unity East staff, volunteers, students, seniors, veterans, family, and friends. Unity East Elementary principal and MC Jim Carver welcomed everyone to the event and introduced the American Legion Post's oldest member, who is 103-year-old George Hawthorne. He was born on February 22, 1922, and celebrating his 104th birthday next February 22, 2026. Everyone in attendance applauded George and appreciated the gesture, acknowledging that he was indeed still here. Sydney American Legion Post Judge Advocate Susan McLean participated at the event and provided assistance to the Hawthorne family. Jim Carver then asked the American Legion Post First Vice Commander Glenn Dillman to come to the podium to offer an opening prayer before the meal was served. Unity East fifth grade students, whom Principal Carver reported had really been looking forward to this day since kindergarten, served the Thanksgiving luncheon. It consisted of turkey, of course, and mashed potatoes, gravy, dressing, stuffing, green beans, and rolls, followed by a choice of pumpkin pie with whipped cream, ambrosia fruit salad, or a special frozen dessert called Pink Fluff that was really enjoyed by everyone. Principal Carver welcomed everyone to the program, thanked everybody for attending, and expressed his hope that everyone had enjoyed their meal as the program began. Principal Carver then asked for the presentation of colors by the Sydney American Legion Color Guard, and that was followed by a special Unity East 5-member choir presentation of our national anthem, the Star Spangled Banner. American Legion Post members participated in the Color Guard, including Legionnaire Mike Shepherd, Sergeant-at-Arms David Dillman, Adjutant and Service Officer Bill McLean, Finance Officer Susan Mantell, and Color Guard Captain Scott Roten. American Legion Commander Bill Hench gave a speech to the Unity Elementary students about the importance of remembrance on Veterans Day. He then introduced former Sydney and current Tolono resident Mike Osterber, who presented a gift of pictures and some sand that he retrieved from his recent trip to Normandy beaches in France, and presented it to Bill and Susan McLean to add to their artifacts in their military museum, which is housed at the Sydney American Legion Post. Commander Hench concluded by inviting folks to contact Bill and Susan for a tour of the museum. The Unity East Elementary Kindergarten through 3rd grade choir sang "You're a Grand Old Flag," and the 4th and 5th grade choir sang "America the Beautiful." Both were directed by Unity East Choir Director Ashley Finolio. Principal Carver then asked that the Armed Forces medley be played while Unity East students waved flags representing the branches of our military, including the Coast Guard, the Air Force, the Army, the Marine Corps, the Navy, and that veterans and active duty members of the militia would stand during the playing of their branches' song. It must have been a lovely, lovely day. The American Legion Post Color Guard retired the colors, and Beckham Brown played taps to conclude the meal and the wonderful program. Our thanks to everybody at Unity Elementary who made this wonderful day possible. Next up on today's front page, we have a very lengthy and detailed coverage of the recent meeting of the Village of the Sydney Board of Trustees. The Village Board met on Monday, November 3rd in the Sydney Community Building. Cindy Shepherd, state organizer in Illinois for the developers of the energy builders, was on the agenda under the public comments section to speak about a possible Sydney Community Benefits Contribution meeting from the Baywa Solar Farm east of Sydney, but she was not in attendance at the meeting. Susan Monty from the Champaign County Environmental Stewards was on the agenda to speak under public comment to ask for a donation from the Village of Sydney for a hazardous waste collection facility in the area, but she also was not in attendance at the meeting. Village of Sydney President John Finn asked for any more public comment, and American Legion Post Commander Bill Hench brought an official notice of intent letter to the meeting that the American Legion Post adjutant and service officer Bill McLean, stating that the village has no future claim on the Sydney American Legion Post building located at 221 South David Street in Sydney, effective October 31st. This claim was entered as the five-year contractual agreement with the Village of Sydney, stating that the post must first offer to sell the building back to the Village of Sydney for $1 in the event that they decided they wanted to sell the building within 5 years of purchasing it, originally for $1 from the Village of Sydney, and that agreement expires on October 31st. The American Legion Post desired to have it on record with the Village of Sydney that the building at 221 South David is now officially owned by the American Legion with no contractual agreements. The notice of intent letter was signed by the Post Commander, Bill Hench, and it needed yet to be signed by Village of Sydney Clerk Ashley Reinhardt, who did so at the meeting, made a copy of the letter provided to the Post for their records following discussions among board members in attendance. Mr. McLean then stated that he would like the Sydney Improvement Group to change the date of their Sydney hometown Christmas event so as not to be to conflict with Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day. It was noted that the Sydney hometown Christmas event is scheduled to take place on December 6th and not on the actual Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day, which is December 7th. McLean acknowledged that and went on to say that he was trying to get WCIA Television to come and film his Pearl Harbor memorabilia exhibit, which would be a great thing for the Village of Sydney. He also noted that he usually sets it up the day before, so it'll be ready for the filming, but that he would not be able to set up the display on December 6th, as the room would have been used as a warming center with hot chocolate and cookies for the Sydney Improvement Group Hometown Christmas. Village of Sydney trustee and Sydney Improvement Group member Matt Lawrence stated that he will speak with the Sydney trustees and the Sydney Improvement Group president Donna Hooker to see if the group can have the warming center elsewhere, and that he was pretty sure that they could find another location. But in the end, they could not change the date of the event. Trustee Laurent additionally explained that the date for the event works well with other events in the area, as folks can drive around and enjoy each event, including Sydney's. McLean then entertained discussion concerning the time capsule buried by the Village of Sydney in front of the Sydney American Legion Post building and reported that it was due to be dug up on July 4th, 2026. He asked if any particular event was planned for it yet and was told that nothing had been planned by the village. Trustee Matt Laurent added that as far as he knew, the Sydney Improvement Group was not in the process of planning anything either. There was no additional public comment, and John Finn moved to ask trustees to look at the Monday, October 6th regular meeting minutes and to approve them if they chose. A motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter, seconded by Matt Laurent, to approve the Monday, October 6th meeting minutes was carried. President Finn began his comments by leading a discussion about the Champaign County Animal Control and its services. The board decided to put the item back on the Monday, December 1st Board of Trustees meeting agenda following some discussion. Another ordinance, 2025-0-05, was an ordinance that would provide an annual 3% pay increase for Sydney employees, was discussed during John Finn's comments. The ordinance was adopted following a motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter and seconded by Trustee Tyler Bickers. The pay increase had originally been approved at the October 6th meeting, but the village needed to create an ordinance for it, as the way it appeared in the minutes previously done was not good enough for the bookkeeping people as they needed an ordinance, so the Village of Sydney Village Attorney Mark Miller wrote an ordinance that was presented at the meeting by Village Clerk Ashley Reinhardt. John Finn, Village of Sydney President, asked the trustees to look over the tax levy ordinance and approve it if they chose. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent for the tax levy was approved. President Finn then led a discussion about golf carts in the village. It was decided that the village does not have people to police or take care of golf cart problems or rules and regulations, and that residents should call the Champaign County Sheriff's Office if they have a problem with people using golf carts on the streets. It was also noted that it was not justifiable for the village to hire or contract with the Sheriff's Department, as had been done in the past. Trustees approved Christmas Eve as an annual paid holiday, and the office would otherwise be closed. A motion to do so and approve Christmas Eve as an annual paid holiday was carried. Lastly, President Finn led a discussion about downtown Village of Sydney property variances. He said he knew that nothing could be done about them tonight, but that there are some property owners in downtown Sydney that are not handling their property variances correctly, and that something needs to be done about it because the downtown area of the village is not looking very good these days. A legal notice will be published in the newspaper for 15 days prior to the December 1st meeting of the Sydney Board of Trustees to give proper legal notice, and the Sydney Board of Trustees will deal with property variances of those properties located on David Street at numbers 212, 216, and 220. They will be addressed at the Monday, December 1st meeting of the Sydney Board of Trustees. Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts reported that drainage tile work around the village will be done by Kevin Dodd shortly, and that he was having trouble changing the message on the sign at the corner of Main and David Streets in Sydney because the property owner and renter were saying that Sydney does not own the sign and that it belongs to them and that the village has no business on the property. Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts and Village Clerk Ashley Reinhardt had spoken to them, and they had gotten nowhere. So Village of Sydney President John Finn will try and make contact with them to discuss the issue further. Village of Sydney Board Trustee and Streets and Alleys Chair Dan Gattican had nothing to report. And finally, Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts presented Harris's one agenda item concerning the White Street culvert and stated that he thinks it needs to be covered with dirt. No action would be taken. Sydney Board of Trustee Chair Tyler Bickers reported that he had no building permits to report and nothing more to bring up. This pretty much concluded the meeting, and we will get back to them next week. We're going to race through our community news and notes today, starting with the Philo Library, which says, attention kids, you're invited to a pajama party at the Philo Library on Family Reading Night, which is November 20th at 7 p.m. Come prepared to be entertained, and then at 8 o'clock or even earlier, you can go home and crawl into a warm, comfy bed for a good night's sleep. The program for this night is being presented by Ann Newman, who was the library director at Paxton for many years. She retired, however, and immersed herself in her true calling, puppets and marionettes. While juggling one, two, or three puppets at a time, Anne entertains the audience with a story that she's made up or even modified. The end result is a fun time for all. Don't forget, Thursday evening, November 20th at 7 p.m. at the Philo Library. Pajamas are welcome, but not required. And the Tolono Library's traditional ornament workshop and tree decorating event is on Saturday, December 7th from 3 to 5 p.m. Kids are invited to come and make decorations and ornaments that they can take home. There will be coloring and decorating and lighting on the south side of the library. After the Christmas tree is lit, everyone's invited back into the library to share cookies and hot chocolate and catch up with friends and neighbors. Do join us for all these wonderful holiday events at the Philo Library. The Tolono Library has a great lineup of events, starting with on Thursday, November 13th. We have story time from 10 to 10:30 a.m. Then on Saturday, join our guests from the University of Illinois' Russian, Eastern European, and Eastern Asian Center for a special Slavic story time from 10 a.m. to 11. Also this Saturday, we have the DMV pop-up event. Registration is required. Just select a time slot and the service you want from the DMV. You can view all the events and the time schedules online. On Monday, November 17th, we have our teen writing workshop from 3:30 to 5 p.m. and adult craft time from 5:30 to 7. This week, we'll be creating a vase out of an old book. You're welcome to bring a book of your own, but all supplies will be provided. They are limited, however, so please register early. On Tuesday, November 18th, we have two events. We have the K-12 Study Station for Science from 3:30 to 5 p.m. and Teen Dungeons and Dragons from 5:30 to 7. And lastly, on Wednesday, November 19th, we have Coffee Talk with a special guest speaker from 9 to 10 a.m. And then we have the CU Fab Lab at the Tolono Library from 3:30 to 5 p.m. There's more details and news on our Facebook and Instagram pages, and we hope to see you at any of these wonderful events at the Tolono Library. And we want to congratulate today Eric Miebach, who has been named to the Chancellor's Scholars at the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater. He is studying finance and was one of the recipients for the entire academic year. Our congratulations to Eric. In other education news, Knox College is offering a Prairie Promise program to afford Illinois students tuition-free attendance. This article by Scott Holland, who is with the Knox College Office of Communications. Knox College recently announced enhancements to their Prairie Promise Comprehensive Aid program, effective for the upcoming fall semester. Originally announced in fall 2021, the Prairie Promise was designed to make nationally ranked Knox College education accessible to Knox College to Illinois residents enrolling for the first time at Knox. Beginning with next fall's incoming students, qualifying students from Illinois can now earn a Knox degree 100% tuition free. Knox's mission has always been to welcome talented students from every background. By covering full tuition for families earning $100,000 or less, we are opening our doors even wider and making it possible for more students to see themselves here at Knox College, said Vice President and Dean of Enrollment Nathan Amont. In order to be eligible for the Prairie Promise, incoming students must be from a family whose income is $100,000 a year or less, a first-year or transfer student admitted to Knox, an Illinois resident or member of a Native nation with historical ties to Illinois. The Prairie Promise is all about helping students attend one of the best liberal arts colleges in the country, right here in our home state, said Knox College President Andrew McGadney. To put it simply, we will offer students a financial aid package that is competitive with any college or university in the Midwest, public or private. This concludes our reading of the November 12th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week.